Good evening. Welcome to Central Church of Christ. Welcome to worship. If you're worshiping with us online, that's great. If you're here, that's even better. If you would, we'll sing number 83 is our first song. Number 83, God is so good. God. Sing only in thee, and then we'll have our opening prayer. Clear my throat. Goodness. Only in thee, number 492, if you're using a book.
Only in thee. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've provided for us, Lord. We thank you for the breath that you've given to us. And Lord, may every breath that we take be submitted to your glory. Father, we also thank you now for a time to reflect. We thank you for the family in Christ that we have around the world. And so, Father, as we hear about our family in other places, we pray that you'll be with the church around the world. We pray that you'll bless them with the strength, the courage, the wisdom, the knowledge that they need to do a good work in their area. And Father, I pray the same for here. I pray that we will have hearts dedicated to doing your work, to reaching out to our mission field here in Johnson City and Kingsport and Bristol and the surrounding areas, Father. Father, help us now to focus, and Lord, help us to be attentive to the message that we're about to hear, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
The love of God, number 122. We'll sing this psalm before the lesson this evening. If it's convenient for you, let's stand as we sing. We'll sing the first and the last verse.
Stands the love of God shed in my soul's blessings all my day.
Be seated. If you're using a psalm book, please mark number 940 as our song of encouragement. 940.
Good evening. Our scripture reading this evening comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. If you'd like to follow along, John, 1 John 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Good evening. We have a great number for Sunday night, and you knew that I was going to be preaching, and you still came. And I'll tell you what, I think maybe some of you heard there was going to be free food for your kids afterwards. Maybe that's part of it. Well, I appreciate that you're here for whatever reason that it was. I am bringing you greetings from our brothers and sisters in Panama, and I appreciate Greg's prayer where he talked about our family around the world, and appreciate Dennis reading for us from 1 John. When we talk about that, we're children of God, and what a blessing it is to be called the children of God, and that if we're the children of God, that means there's other children all over the world. We have brothers and sisters all over the world. And when I look at this picture, this is from inside the church building at the Valurisco Church of Christ. And immediately I start sweating, or I think about sweating, because it's very hot there in that church building. A lot of other people remember sweating in that church building too. And but I also know that we have brothers and sisters who are there right now worshiping. What an amazing thing to think about, that there are people, not just there, but all over the world, in different languages, that are singing just like we sang, that are opening God's Word, that are studying from it, our brothers and sisters. And one of the neatest things that we realized on this trip is that bond of fellowship that we have with brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a very special one, and it only takes a few minutes being around somebody to recognize that bond and be able to cherish that, to say, I don't know you, I don't know much about you, but I love you because we share something very special in common. When we talk about the Church of Christ at Valurisco, Valurisco is in the Bocas del Toro region of Panama. We'll talk a little more about that in just a second, but we can't start the conversation without introducing you to Gilberto Blandford. Gilberto Blandford is one of the hardest working people I have ever met in my life. Gilberto is the preacher for the Valurisco Church of Christ. Gilberto is a graduate of the Bible School of the Americas in Panama City, one of the first graduates. He's been preaching for over 30 years. And many of the congregations in Latin America are supported by congregations in the United States. Valurisco is no different. A lot of the preachers are supported by people in the United States, and Gilberto Blandford is very different. Gilberto, the congregation, some of the funds needed for the congregation are supplied from the U.S., but Gilberto is a self-supported preacher. He works tirelessly. If the sun is up, he is in the community in Valurisco teaching and trying to spread the word, not just in Valurisco. There's actually 12 villages that make up this rainforest jungle. Valurisco is the largest, and Gilberto spends a lot of his time in Valurisco, but in several of the other villages too, teaching, studying the Bible. If the sun's up, that's where he's at. When the sun goes down, he goes to his home, and we'll have a picture here, I think, of his home. There we go. He is, in the evenings, he's working on his farm. He's a cacao farmer, and that's how he supports himself and his family financially. So cacao is this fruit that Josh Johnson is holding, and there you see Gilberto has just opened one with a machete, and he's sharing some of that with some of our team members. And cacao is used to make chocolate, and he's part of a co-op, and he farms this fruit, and then he's got a large drying station where once you pick the fruit and you pull the seeds out, then you dry it, and then he sells it to a co-op, and he was able to give us some of the chocolate that they make, and it's really, really good. Most of those cacao seeds are actually exported to Europe, and some of the finest chocolate in the world started in Panama. But this is Gilberto and his family and his farm. A few of us were able to go to his house one day, and that was a really important part of why we were there. This is Gilberto's house, which is actually probably the nicest house that we saw while we were there. This, let me go back real quick so you can see the inside of his house. You can see there's not much to it. There's very little electricity, absolutely no air conditioning, no frills, no TV or devices that we would have to have for our sustenance. And then this is the front of his house right here. Going there to his house that day was a very important part of one of our goals that we were went to Panama for. We had four goals, and one of those was to encourage our brethren. Gilberto, it was very important to him that we see his house and see his farm. He really wanted to share that with us, to show us how hard he works, to show us something that was a very important part of his life. But the other goals were to open doors, and we had a very unique opportunity to open doors that maybe some of our Panamanian brethren weren't able to. Not because we were so special or not because we were so smart, but it was because we were so different. People looked at us and a lot of times they would think, why is this person from the United States in our village? And so they would come to see why we would come down there. We were there to plant seeds. And we'll talk about some of the seeds we were able to plant, encourage our brethren. And then probably the most effective thing that we were able to do while we were down there is strengthen the church here by strengthening ourselves. So I want to talk a little bit about how we did each one of those and give you kind of a look into what we were able to do in Panama. So our trip started off a little bit rocky. We went to the Tri-Cities Airport at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a 6 o'clock flight. I don't want to speak bad of the Tri-Cities Airport. I fly out of there a lot. But we didn't make it out that morning. We got on the plane, and they told us to get off the plane. And I thought, that's not good when they tell you to get off. And the plane was broken down, and it wasn't going to make that flight. So we missed our connector in Atlanta, which caused us to have to stay the night in Atlanta. The flight plan was, let's go from Tri-Cities to Atlanta, Atlanta to Panama City, and then we would have to stay the first night in Panama City because we have to take another flight from another airport in Panama City. So we fly into the Panama City International Airport, PTY, Tocumen Airport, and then we go from the Albrook Airport, which is like, I don't know, I think it's like an airport, and they do like nails and taxes and a couple other things in there too. It's a really small airport. And we get on this really small plane. Back in December when I went to kind of check this out, the pilot had his window open, which I didn't know that the pilot could open his window, but his window was open, and you can see Phil Wagner in the red shirt and the backpack. Phil and I, we're both pretty petite guys, and so why'd y'all laugh at that? And so as he sees us walking up the stairs, he points at both of us. He's like, you two cannot sit together, separate sides of the plane. And you always makes you feel good when you get on an airplane that has shag carpeting and cigarette ashtrays. So we were able to do that, but just a day later. The first picture there on the left is our group at the Panama Canal. Since we got in a day, we had a day to kind of kill on the front end because we couldn't take our flight till the next day. We tried to do some of our touristy stuff as soon as we got in there. So got to see the Panama Canal. Really, really neat thing for our group to be able to see. we waved at this boat that's coming through because they had a Texas flag, or the boat was called something from Texas, and then we realized maybe it was actually from Japan. We kept saying yee-haw to them and realized they had no idea what we were saying. So from time to time, we'll put some quotes from our team members about what they learned. And Sierra Tate learned that the Tri-City Airport does not have mechanics on staff, and if your plane breaks down, they need to drive one up from Knoxville. And we learned that the hard way. We arrived at Tri-Cities Airport at 4 a.m., and I think we left out just before lunchtime. So we got to know the people there really well. But eventually, Sunday morning, we were able to fly out of Panama City, and we flew to Changanola, Panama, in the Bocas del Toro region of Panama. That's the northeast corner of the country near Costa Rica on the Caribbean side. And a beautiful flight on this plane with the ashtrays and the shag carpet and the actual propellers. You don't see those much anymore. Beautiful flight over the Caribbean. And once into Changanola, we took a bus from Changanola to a little port city called Almirante. That's where we stayed while we were in country. We stayed in Almirante. Almirante is a little city owned by Chiquita Banana, so that they don't have to wait at the other ports. They they own Almirante. They're the only ones allowed to take big boats into there. And so there's a lot of Chiquita banana stuff in Almirante. And there is one tiny little hotel there, and we'll talk about that in a second. And then every morning we go into Valle Risco. This is the Church of Christ at Valle Risco. Back in December when I visited Valle Risco, they didn't have this porch on the front, and they didn't have this chair on the right is if you were looking from the pulpit in the church and you looked out the window, you can see where they're starting to build a little wall, and they're going to eventually have some children's classrooms. That's a classroom that they're building. Right now, it's a one-room building. They were able to build the steps in the porch. Before, you had to kind of walk around the back side of the building to get in. All of the wood in this building has been hewn by hand. They cut down the trees. They planed it with hand tools, which is not an easy job. They stained it. They carved it. You can't really see in this, but there's a lot of intricate detail on those handrails. They did all of that themselves, stained it, painted them, and put it all together. The windows and the doors to the building, you'd look at them and say, wow, you must have paid thousands of dollars for those. Well, no, they just did it by hand. Though if you were to do that in your home, it would cost you thousands of dollars to get a door or a window like that. Valle Risco, and this is a better picture of the building. Valle Risco is a small rainforest village in the province of Bocas del Toro. The population is about 4,100 people. The average monthly income for all of Bocas is around $400 a month, though most of the people we met were probably under $100 a month is how much money they made. There's very little electricity in the entire village. Some houses had enough to power a few bulbs, maybe charge a cell phone, which I wasn't really sure how, because we didn't have cell phone service at all. But a lot of them had cell phones and camera phones. There was no sewage system. They ran either holes in the ground or ditches that led to bigger holes in the ground. There was some running water in different places, but none of it was clean. You couldn't drink any of the water. So when you walked through the village, there was a smell from the sewage. But the people in the village were extremely happy. I mean, extremely happy. They weren't poisoned by all this stuff that we have that can make them unhappy. And they were very, very content with what they had. No air conditioning, no clean water, and all the time in the world to be thankful. Sierra also said this, "When I close my eyes, I think of the church building in Valle Risco. You can tell they built it with love. The railings were hand-carved. It was well maintained and clean." And it was. The building wasn't much. It was a single room with benches that, you know, were handmade too. Didn't look extremely comfortable. I had to be careful where I sat on the bench, so I didn't, you know, make sure I sat on a support column on the bench. But they kept it clean. They were very proud of it. The building, we know that the building was probably designed to seat maybe 50 or 60, though we know it will hold at least 277 children. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But this is one of the, if not the nicest looking building in the village. And so they really do a good job of putting their best foot forward and showing the community who they are. So a typical day for us was we would leave the Hotel 888. That's where we stayed. The Hotel 888 in Almirante, we'd leave by 7 o'clock in the morning to drive into Valle Risco. We couldn't stay in Valle Risco because there's really no hotels in Valle Risco. And we wanted to be able to have a shower every night. And I'm sure all the people who worked with us wanted us to have a shower. But it was a beautiful drive up the mountain, and you could get views of the Caribbean as we drove into Almirante and into the rainforest every morning. Jessica Parrott, one of our college students, says when she closes her eyes and pictures Valle Risco, she pictures the beautiful mountains, all the banana trees, and the Church of Christ members working so hard to reach out to the community. There were certain times as we would drive over the mountains and through the mountains that you would almost swear that you were in East Tennessee, just the different views of the mountains. And then maybe you'd see a banana tree and say, maybe not East Tennessee. But very beautiful, some of the drive over there. Our typical day started with encouraging our brethren. This is the man on the far right. That's Jose Chavarria. Jose and his wife and some of their family were our cooks for the week. We ate every single meal in Valle Risco, and we had to be very careful about that. There weren't really restaurants, but there were some people that would make food and try to sell it to you. Because the water wasn't clean, because you didn't know where the food came from, we had to be extremely careful about how we ate. And so we purchased food and we rented this room where Jose and his wife and family would cook for us every day. And not just us, but all of our Panamanian brothers and sisters who came on the trip. This was the first post-COVID campaign in Panama, so it was very, very popular. There was church members from all over the country that came to assist with us. And so we would go eat breakfast with them. They would cook on these gas burners, have these huge bowls. Generally every meal involved beans and rice, and then some mixture of, in one pot, and then some mixture of like vegetables and meat in another pot. And it tasted different every day. It was really good. So they worked really hard in the kitchen all day. We'd get to eat with our brothers and sisters and meet some of them while we were getting ready for the day. Jenna Jacobs says when she thinks about Panama, she sees the landscape and how beautiful it is, and she sees the community. So after breakfast, we would start the day with a morning devotional. And that was led by the men of our team, Josh Alley, Josh Johnson, myself, and then Brent Parrott, Jessica's dad, who went with us. We would do a morning devotional, and it would be translated. We would sing. Whoever wasn't doing the devotional, one of the other guys would lead a couple of songs in English. Then one of the Latin brothers would lead a couple of songs in Spanish. That is one of the, and Josh Johnson mentioned this, I was encouraged by the enthusiasm of the congregational singing during worship. To me, that's one of the things that is going to stick with me. And I've been to Valle Risco twice. I've been to Panama 5 or 6 times, Latin America probably 15 times. I don't know why this time it hit me more than others. The singing down there, the passion that they sing with, they are ready to praise God, and they wholeheartedly are singing with every ounce of energy that they have in their body. And they liked when we sang, and man, they were so encouraging when they sang to listen to them. They liked being able to hear us share from the Word, and we were able to hear them a couple times as well. So then we went on to planting seeds. On a typical day after our morning devotional, we'd usually be out by 9:30 to do community evangelism. And for the most part, what that meant was just going door knocking and asking people, would they like to study the Bible with us? That may not be incredibly effective in the United States. It is incredibly effective in Panama. During the morning, from 9:30 to 12, we did this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was only able to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because Thursday we had a couple other things that I had to be a part of. But in the morning sessions, I probably had 4 Bible studies. And that's because every time the first house I went to was like, yes, let's study the Bible. Let's study for 2.5 hours. And let me ask you these questions, and let's talk about this. And it's usually the first house we got to would be that way. And I know that was the case for a lot of other people who were doing these studies as well. So we had 4 evangelism teams in the morning. I was on one, Josh Johnson was on one, Josh Alley was on one, and Brent Parrott was the other. And we all had translators, and then we also took the young ladies of our group. We'd split them up among our teams, and so that they could be part of the evangelism teams in the morning. Then we also had our Latin brothers. We had Latin preachers from all over the country, probably at least 15 to 20 of them, who were also out in the community. I know we canvassed every house in the community over the course of the week, because we were going to other villages by the end of the week to meet more people. I'll tell you a funny story. This house that we were at, I may not have been, this was a different one. We had just finished a study with one family, and they said, come on, we're going to climb up this hill to go to this other set of houses up on top of the hill. And we saw some of our Latin brothers up there, and there's no sidewalks in these communities. It's just a hill. And it's like, you know, like a little cattle trail, you know, when a cow will walk into the side of the hill and you might get a little bit of footing. You know, they'll get that. And I'm how did they build a house up on this hill? And the only way to get there is this little cattle trail. And it was raining and it was muddy. And my translator just climbed up that hill like no problem. And he's like, come on, let's go up this hill. And I'm looking at that thing and I kept slipping. And finally I was like, Jose, I think there's plenty of people down there that need the gospel. we're gonna go down there. And but over the course of the week, in the lower picture, you can see some of the Latin brothers with their backpacks on going out into the community in different places. Up here is myself with our translator, Jose Rodriguez. That's Julia Zabrowski and Maddie Henry in that picture. Also a sister from the Changanola Church of Christ in the center, Jennifer. And they came and we studied with this young lady, and they asked us to come into the house and pray for the father who was really sick. And we did. And we started studying with this young lady. And then every day there was another lady that would join the study. And each time we thought it was this young lady's mother, but it was, because each time it was an older girl, and it was just another sister. It's just older and older and older. So I embarrassed myself at least 3 or 4 times in the house. But over the course of the week, we were able to complete 240 Bible studies with 498 people. And the great thing is we did plant seeds. And a lot of those seeds are continuing to be followed up by Gilberto. He's given me updates daily about studies that he's continuing to have in the community. Josh Alley said, the most important thing I did on this trip was preach the gospel of Christ. So after the morning session, we'd go and have lunch back in our room. We'd have another afternoon devotional that was translated. And there's Josh Johnson leading the devotional one afternoon. That's us having lunch and going through just some announcements for the day. That's Phil Wagner from the Creve Hall Church of Christ. And I, like I said, we're both petite guys. You can tell from the picture. And we're kind of talking about some of the things that we're going to be doing throughout the day. So after lunch is when the group of girls in the top picture, that's when they just turned into superheroes. After lunch, three of our teams, Josh Alley, Josh Johnson, and myself, our evangelism teams, we'd go back out. But we'd go back out. It was usually just us and our translator. We wouldn't take anybody else with us. And we'd go try to have Bible studies in the afternoon. These young ladies put together a VBS. They put together materials. You donated materials like crowns and some other things to help with this VBS. And every day they worked and put on a 2-hour VBS in the community. Day number one, we weren't there because we got delayed in our travel. So day number one, there were 70 kids that came. Day number two was our first day there. We had 90 kids. And it just kept going up from there. And day six, there were 277 kids crammed into this small building. Remember, the population of Valle Risco is just over 4,000 people. And this was ages about 10 and under, I think, is where we kind of capped the VBS. So The percentage of kids in Valle Risco, 10 years old and under, that were at our VBS was pretty high. We were able to touch a lot of hearts and a lot of kids with this VBS. And the reason I believe that the VBS was so well attended gets back to opening doors. Our young ladies worked hard before we went down there, but I think they put on a great VBS. But our sisters in Valle Risco and Panama, they were very capable of putting on a great VBS on their own. But I think what these children were seeing, most of them for the first time in their life, is someone from the United States. Why would someone from the United States come all the way to my tiny little village in the middle of this rainforest to teach me something? I want to go hear whatever they have to say. So we were able to open a door just by being us. Sierra said, the most important thing that I did was hopefully give the kids of Valurisco a pleasant memory of church. And Julia said, when I look back, I think about hearing hundreds of kids singing. So you just look at these two pictures. These were both taken on the last day. The kids have just overwhelmed the pews. They're now sitting on the pulpit. They're sitting on the side of the building. It was just chaos, and these girls did such a good job with it. Maddie said, all the smiling faces, eager to learn faces that were ready to soak up the lesson we'd prepared. Jessica said, the most important thing I did on this trip was plant a seed into the lives of a lot of children. So the last day, our translators and our Latin brothers had an opportunity to go do something a little bit different. And so we also knew that the VBS was going to be a lot bigger on the last day, just because of how it was trending, and maybe the ladies would need some of our help. So the guys, we all stayed back to help with the VBS one day. And this picture, maybe you can't see it very well. This is the guys, and we didn't even make it through the entire VBS. That's me laying out on a wall. That's Josh Alley with his hands up over his head. Josh Johnson sitting next to him. We're just trying to get cool and trying to, and the girls, you know, 30 minutes later walk by and it's like, what's wrong, guys? We did that all week. It was taxing. It was hard. Me, Josh, and Josh, our job on the last day of VBS was, I guess we were kind of like bathroom monitor, you know. We kind of like, because the kids were just pouring out of every window and doorway in this tiny little building, and they were running to the bathroom. Well, the bathroom, I mean, it's only one person at a time can go in there, and like 30 kids would run out. And so we're trying to keep them organized while they're doing that and keep them out of the mud. And I think Josh Alley had the idea, you know what, as these kids are waiting in line, I'm going to give them a tract to take home to their family so they can study. And what happened was, all of a sudden, every kid from the community is like, oh, this guy's giving something away. So now Josh is surrounded. And that good deed of giving out a tract may have, may have backfired a little bit. But we ran out of snacks, and the three of us ran back to the kitchen and made more snacks and brought them back up. And we were pooped. But the girls, man, they were troopers all week, and they did such a good job with that. Josh said, the children very much stuck out to me. Hundreds of kids that can change this world, which is a really important thing that Josh realized. We were told a story while we were there within one of these VBSs that was held in another part of the country, there was a group picture of all the children that were part of that VBS. And at the very front, on very front row in one of those pictures was a young man who is now a preacher, and I believe was part of our trip, because he heard the gospel for the first time in a VBS. So they really can change the world, not just Panama, not just Valurisco. There may be a day in the not too distant future where we're having Panamanians come up to help us evangelize. So in the evening, after the VBS, we'd go eat dinner again in our same place. And then we'd go to the evening gospel meeting. And this picture kind of shows you where that would be. There's a trail, again, almost like a little cattle trail, that goes down to the community center for Valurisco. That was the only way down there. I mean, it's a very, very narrow trail. If there was a hiking guide for it, you know, it would be the most difficult, because it wasn't easy. I was certain that I was going to fall down that trail one night, but a big victory for me is I never did. And we would go down to this community center to have the gospel meeting, because the church just wasn't big enough to hold everyone that would be there. So at the gospel meeting every night, we had different preachers from around the country that would present. And except for the last night, it was only in Spanish. The last night, you can see Josh Alley actually preached at the gospel meeting, and it was interpreted. The young ladies, again, I can't talk enough about how hard they worked. By the time the gospel meeting rolled around, I was ready to just go to sleep. They were ready to go meet the families of the children who were coming to the gospel meeting because they heard what the kids said at VBS. And so they did a really good job of, you can see Jessica and Julie up there, of going and talking to the people who they recognized who had come back for that evening. Also, you see Jessica holding a volleyball at the back part of the community center was a volleyball court, and people from all over the community would come down and play volleyball, and Jessica brought her volleyball, and most of our group would engage in volleyball. I did the last night. I was certain that I would hurt myself, and so I was like, all right, if I'm going to hurt myself, I'll hurt myself on the last night, and so I played for about 10 minutes and didn't hurt myself and decided to quit while I was ahead, but we had 746 people in attendance at this gospel meeting, which was again incredible, especially considering the population of Valle Risco. 746 people in attendance at the gospel meeting, 277 at the VBS, evangelizing in the community with almost 500 people. That community knew we were there. And on top of that, we also had a teen class every night. We had about 25 teens from the community involved. This, we actually held the teen class on the volleyball court. So you see the net that's kind of intersecting the class, and we did it right like that so we could actually string lights onto the net so kids could be able to open their Bibles. A lot of our group, because the lesson wasn't interpreted in the gospel meeting, would come to the teen class, which was translated, and they were really great about getting their cell phones and flashlights out to help people find verses and look them up. Can't say enough about how hard our group worked and how they just were flexible and jumped into any situation where they could help. About 25 kids every night in the teen class. The results, and you see one of the baptisms there on the final night. We had 5 baptisms during the week, 2 restorations. There have been 2 baptisms since the trip is over, so 7 baptisms now. And then Gilberto is updating me daily about Bible studies that he's continuing to have from seeds that were planted on the trip. That baptistry sits about 50 feet in front of the church building at Valle Risco. So the last night, I think 2 people from the gospel meeting decided they needed to be baptized. And so it's about a half mile walk from the community center back to the church. And this huge group of, you know, a couple hundred people at least, all marched back in the dark from the community center back to the church building so that we can have a baptism. It was really special. And then I wanted to tell you another neat story, too, about planting seeds. Sometimes you go about your daily life purposefully planting seeds with some people, trying to be an example, and sometimes you plant seeds not even realizing you're planting seeds. Every night we would go back to our hotel about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. We had hired a bus to take us in and out of Valle Risco back and forth to Almirante. And we kind of thought the bus driver was probably a little annoyed at us because after the first night, we told him, hey, man, if you don't slow down, we're going to throw up all over your bus because he drove really fast. But we would sing. We had a group that loves to sing. Everybody in our group loved to sing. And the first night, we were singing John Denver and Backstreet Boys and whatever we knew. But then we started singing church songs. It was a great experience. If I could go back and do, there's so many things I would go back and do. I think right now, though, if you said, where would you be? I'll put me on that bus and let's be singing. We sang our hearts out. This picture includes our team plus Jose, who is my interpreter. I've known Jose, by the way, since I was about 13 years old. The first time I went to Panama, I met Jose, and we've been friends ever since. Jose, Elio, and his wife Fanny were a couple of translators for us. Pablo is not in this picture, but he was a translator and rode the bus with us every day. And then Ahanor Rudas is in the green shirt in the front. Gilberto's in the far right. Gilberto obviously didn't ride the bus every day, but this was the last day, and he did. But Jose, Elio, Fanny, Pablo, and Ahanor. They were on the bus with us most days. And we would sing church songs. And we would sing out. And a lot of our songs, they sing the same tune, just different words, you know, obviously because it's a different language. And we were singing out 10,000 Reasons, a devotional song. And we were singing it out as hard as we could. And I'm sitting right in front of Pablo and Fanny and Elio. And I'm hearing them sing out in a different language, but just as passionate and just as hard. And it almost brought tears to my eyes to think about that family we have and that bond we have, that I don't even understand what he's saying, but I know what he's saying. And I know why he's saying it, and just how powerful that was. Well, it wasn't just powerful to us. It was powerful to the driver. So the two red shirts on the right and the left, the right side is the driver. The left side is actually the owner of the bus and the manager, and they would both be on the bus every time. The last day when they dropped us off, this is at the airport in Changanola, they insisted, we got to get a picture with you guys. We were very touched and moved by what we heard you guys do this week. And so Gilberto's following up with them as well. That was a seed we planted. We didn't even know we were planting. In fact, we thought, these guys are probably annoyed at us for singing every night. These guys probably don't like us because we told them to slow down. But unbeknownst to us, we planted some powerful seeds. Then we strengthened the Lord's church back home because all of us left some things there. And all of us brought some things back. And I think we all came back very, very much stronger. Jenna said she learned a great appreciation for the depth of God's loving kindness for all his people. And I don't think that was just Jenna. I think we all did. I think we were all moved to see that God cares for all of his people. And he cares for all of them in different ways. Jessica said her outlook on being content has changed a ton. I've learned that we are very fortunate in the United States. The people in Valley Risco are always happy there, although they may not have an AC to cool their houses. They may not have a lot of other things. They are very happy. As I think about how they're worshiping right now down in Valley Risco, it looks and sounds a lot different than the way we are tonight and the way we are today. But they don't need the comforts that we have to be able to praise and be happy and be joyful. Julia said, this trip has changed the way I look at the world, realizing that I can't be comfortable in the world and around worldly people. I need to be a light and be different than the world. I learned that we as a church have family wherever we go. I think this was an eye-opener for a lot of us. There's so many things that try to steal our attention, focus away from God and from doing his will. And it's easy for us to just be like the world, to be conformed to the world instead of being transformed, as Romans says, and to be that light and to be different in the world. I think we all came back a little bit stronger saying, you know what, it's okay to be different. And then the fact that she said, as has been said earlier, we have family wherever we go. That is so important and such a blessing that we have in Christ. Maddie Henry said, we need to take a lesson from the people of Valley Risco on the desire to love, learn, grow, and walk in Christ. We need to have joy in our hearts as we live for Christ. I stepped out of my comfort zone and discovered new talents I didn't know I had. If y'all, and Maddie's not here, she's back in Jackson this week with her family. She'd be totally embarrassed if she was here. That's probably why she's not here. Maddie really did come out of her comfort zone, and she showed us some amazing talents there that maybe she doesn't find if she doesn't go to Panama. And she kind of said a mouthful there too. The people in Valley Risco, we can learn so much from them. So many times people go on mission trips with this complex, the savior complex, that because I'm from the United States, because I have money, because I have education, I can go down there and I can fix all their problems. And really what's happened is they've helped us so much more than we helped them. In fact, I tried to express that to the brothers and sisters of the congregation that because of them, the church in the United States is stronger. Maddie was able to discover talent she didn't know she had. She got up and taught the VBS class one night, which is a big deal for her. She had said before we were going, she would help out in a lot of ways, but getting up in front of people and speaking is not one that she would do. And at some point during the week, she said, "Hey, girls, I got tonight. I'm doing it." Which we're really proud of her for doing that. Sierra said, "The brothers and sisters of Valle Risco are some of the most hardworking and loving people you'll ever meet. I wish all the churches in the U.S. can meet them because they are an inspiration." And that is fully echoed. The work ethic that these folks have, the work ethic in the church, they definitely do not grow weary in the work of love. They are working so hard every day and are definitely an inspiration to all of us. When I think about the amount of hours that most of those brothers and sisters are putting into evangelism and the work of the church and the community versus how many hours I'm able to, I'm just so busy. I have so many other things going on. It's embarrassing. And they are incredibly hardworking and extremely loving. I mean, the first time we ever met them, they loved us, and that was great. Josh Johnson said, "I learned that there are many people starving for the truth. The people in Valle Risco have almost nothing, but their impoverished state doesn't define their attitude or demeanor. I will be more likely to put myself out there and share the gospel to those I meet." As a result of the trip to Panama, we have a stronger congregation as a result of the church in Valle Risco. We owe the church in Valle Risco a debt of gratitude for what they were able to do for the church here at Central. And the church in Jackson, Tennessee, and Cookeville, and all over the country where a lot of these college students have come from. And then Josh Alley said, "I've learned happiness is not always defined by materialism. My attitude and gratitude has changed." And anytime you go somewhere you like this, you realize just how blessed we are. And again, it makes you almost a little bit embarrassed to come home. There was a lot of things I was grateful for when I came home. I wanted to sleep in my bed. I wanted to have a good shower. There's a lot of things that I wanted, and then there was a lot of things that I just looked around my house and realized, man, I don't need half the things that I have. It reminds us that happiness, and to think about how happy the people in this community were. The homes, I don't think I mentioned this, and I don't have a good picture of one. The homes in Valle Risco were unlike any that I've ever seen in Latin America before. They were built on stilts, and there were two levels, and it seemed that the upper level was made for sleeping at night, and the lower level was made for living during the day. Dirt floors on the bottom floor. They all had walls that came up about 2 or 3 feet. Most of them didn't even have doors. Security wasn't an issue. Most of the time in Latin America, the houses are surrounded by a miniature fort with glass or rebar so people can't climb over. This community, that was not an issue. You could easily, if you wanted inside somebody's house, you could just walk through the opening because there wasn't a door. In fact, during Bible studies, we'd have pigs and chickens and dogs and all kinds of things just walk into the house with us. The upstairs was the same, small wall. And because it was so hot, you wanted the low wall so that air could just travel through and you catch those cross breezes even while you're laying in bed. And that was it. I mean, they may have a chair or a bench that they, put together with a few pieces of wood. Most houses had a table that they'd eat around. Most of them would cook outside, either on a gas burner or a lot of them would just cook on an open fire. And they didn't have a lot. Kids, the toys they were playing with were sticks. I don't know how many toys I saw. Most of the toys they made. In fact, in the VBS, they made little toys, and we could tell what day the VBS was every day because you'd see kids in the community running around with the little toy that they made or the craft they made in VBS, which was so special to them. And I think about all the things that they didn't have closets for clothes because they usually just wore one pair and washed the other. I think about all the things that I had just in my suitcase that probably was more valuable than everything they had in their homes. The work is continuing, though, Jenna said, mostly I see people we grew close to who are still in Panama continuing the work. And this picture is a picture of our entire team, or at least close to our entire team. There's probably a few missing. Everyone in the blue shirts are folks from Panama who came to help us. There was about 12, I think, from Value Risco, from the congregation of Value Risco, that helped us every single day. Maybe more than, maybe closer to 20, I think, from the Value Risco Church of Christ. And they helped every single day. Value Risco Church of Christ is very mission-minded. Value Risco is one of 12 villages in the rainforest and in this part of the country. And Gilberto has designs on having a congregation in each one of the 12 villages. Value Risco is the largest. There's a congregation that's already been built and just getting started in a neighboring village. There's a congregation that is in the process of being built. And his son, Gilberto's son, is at the preaching school in Panama City. And by the time he graduates, he should be able to go and start preaching at that congregation. The second congregation right now is just a pavilion. I mean, it's six posts with a roof on it, no walls, no nothing, and some benches that sit underneath it, and that's the church in the neighboring village. But Gilberto has designs on having one in every village. The men that he's studying with and converting, he's sending them to school so that they can come back and lead in some of these other communities. Very inspiring, the work that's being done in Value Risco. There's plenty of opportunities to help and serve. The biggest thing they would value from us is our prayers. And I think we can absolutely do that, to continue to pray for Gilberto and his family and the church in Value Risco and the churches all over the world. There are opportunities for individual things that they need, that we'll talk more about some of the stuff that they can do. But I think the thing that sticks with me the most is just the fact that when I woke up this morning and thought about presenting this tonight, the thing that I just keep coming back to is right now they're worshiping. And I know that because they spend most of the day together. They'll worship, they'll spend some time, maybe they'll eat and they'll worship some more, they'll sing some more, and they'll be together worshiping all day. And knowing that not just in Panama, but all over the world, there's people doing that. In our Bible class this morning, I mentioned, you know, all over the world, people are worshiping today. And while we're in here in this very nice, comfortable building, we're very blessed, and there's nothing wrong with us being in this nice, comfortable building, we know that there are people in Value Risco, in a building with no air conditioning, that's not very comfortable, that are worshiping too. And there's people in the Ukraine that are worshiping, probably very fearfully. There's people that we know are worshiping in China, that when they came to worship, they came, you know, one or two people at a time, spread out over several hours, so they're not draw attention to themselves. And when they're singing, they don't have the blessing that the people in Value Risco do and that we do, to be able to sing out as loud as they can. A lot of times they're whispering their hymns. And if you were to ask someone in Value Risco, are you blessed? They say, oh, we're so blessed. We're so blessed to be able to worship the way we worship, to sing out with all of our heart and do things that we do. And I just think how blessed we are that they are our brothers and sisters. And that the people in Ukraine and China and all over the world, that they are our brothers and sisters too. We have talents that we're able to give. We were able to open doors for them, and I'm glad that we could do that this week. We have other talents and blessings that we can share with the world too. We have talents and blessings that Greg mentioned in his prayer that we can share with our community, and we need to be able to do that too. But I think the biggest blessing that we have that we realized was being part of the family of God. Dennis read for us, what manner of love has been bestowed on us that we can be called children of God? We are God's children, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And that relationship with him begins by washing our sins away. The biggest problem we talked about with every Bible study that I went with, you know, how we started each study is, what's the biggest problem in the world? The biggest problem in the world is sin, and sin is keeping us away from a relationship with God. But God has overcome that with the blood of Jesus. He loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us. If you haven't done that, you can't experience this wonderful privilege we have to be called a child of God, to be washed in the blood of Christ and be in this family and have a family that extends across the globe. If you need to be part of that family, you can do that. Be with through faith, repentance, confession, being baptized, washing away your sin. Maybe you realize that there's opportunities to where you can be more to be more outgoing with your faith. I think we all did on this trip. We all realized, man, we've got a long way to go. Maybe you can respond without even coming forward tonight, right in your seat tonight, to say, you know what, I can be better at sharing the gospel with my neighbor. Maybe there's things that you need us to pray for you for. Whatever those needs are, let us help you as together we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus.
Still being the first day of the week, if you're unable to partake of the Lord's Supper, this is the time that we'll take to do that. We'll sing number 342, We Saw Thee Not, to prepare our minds before we begin.
Thou Son of God, but we believe.
preparation for the Lord's Supper. Let's go to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, to prepare my mind for the Lord's Supper. I'm reading from the ESV version on my app. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways, none bigger and greater, none that shows your love and mercy and grace better than sending your Son to suffer on the cross for our sins. Lord, we deserve the cross, yet you sent your Son to bear that pain, that suffering, that humiliation that we should have bared, so that one day that we can be with you in heaven. Lord, help us to understand the sacrifice that you've given us, to understand our place where we are to submit to you, to be servants to you, but in a way that you showed how much you loved us, that you sent your only Son to die for us. Lord, thank you for that sacrifice, and help us to utilize that memory to live our lives. Help us when we take this bread, that we do it in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The cup. Heavenly Father, the precious blood that has washed away our sins could come from no one else. No matter what we did or how much good that we could try to do, it would not take away any of our sins, and it would leave a huge gap for us to be justified to be with you. But because your Son poured out his blood, we are able to be washed white as snow from our sins so that we can be with you again. Lord, be with us throughout this week, and help us to take up our cross to live for you, and help us to take this cup in remembrance of your Son and what he's done for us, in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Concludes the Lord's Supper. In a matter of convenience, let's also, I'll pray for the giving, the offering. Heavenly Father, we could spend eternity and still not even come close to giving back what you've given to us. Every time that we try to do for others, to do for you, it only blesses us even more. And for that, we thank you, Lord, the blessings that you've showered on us just overfilled. We can never, never catch up and never do more than what you can do for us. But Lord, that's not why we love you, and that's not why we give. It's because you are the great Lord, and you are worthy of being praised. And your name should be proclaimed throughout the whole world. Thank you, Lord, for the missions that we've done locally and that are done internationally to spread your word, to share how great that you are throughout the whole world. Help us to continue in giving what we can to make sure that your name is glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have closing prayer, I might mention that Tim made a reference to the fact that going door to door may not be as successful in the United States. I was down at Polishing the Pulpit and heard Rob Whitaker, who's now involved with the sort of a school of evangelism with Heart to Heart, House to House publication that we give out. And certainly it is very successful in this country. It's the methods they use, and they've been quite successful. He made reference recently working at the Carnes Congregation in Knoxville. And I think his group worked there with the congregation there. And I think in 4 days, they had made over 400 contacts. So it is successful. I heard other men speaking about the same thing in various locations in the country where they speak. But let's bow. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to assemble tonight. I'm grateful, Father, for our attendance, and certainly pray that more might take advantage of the opportunity to hear your word preached. Grateful, Father, for our teachers involved in our various Bible classes, and again pray that more might show an interest in studying your word on a daily basis, and certainly in our classes on Sunday and Wednesday evening. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. Thank you, Father, for Tim and Tim Haywood and Josh and their work. Thank you for our elders. Father, bless us and be with us as we separate. We're grateful, certainly, Father, for those that have seen improvement in their health, and we certainly pray that more will continue to enjoy better health, and hopefully others might recover their health if that's possible. Continue to bless us and be with us as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen.